meager beginnings as an adolescent ambulance washer in Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, to a decade-long legacy of bringing you breaking news before it makes the news, broadcasting live from the studios of Scared Monkeys Radio Network via C-band satellite W3-957, Access Communications Channel 7, and worldwide via digital streaming audio at ScaredMonkeysRadio.com, it's the Dana Pretzer Show. And now, your host, Dana Pretzer.
Okay, good evening, everyone. We're going to start out tonight with Robin Sachs. You know her as a former ADA out of Los Angeles County, an author, violence expert, and NBC legal analyst. Hi, Robin.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine. Now, we used to call your segment Nothing But the Sachs, but I think we're going to change it to On the Road with Robin Sachs because I've always got you.
I've always got you
at a different place. Listen, seriously, though, let's start. We're going to talk about Lindsay Lohan and Paris Hilton and all that nonsense, but I want to get your thoughts on this thing with the Discovery Channel, the guy that went in took some hostages today. Have you ever heard of a story like that before?
You know, it's kind of interesting because I thought the joke was on me today when I walked into my office and people in my office were talking about this and they said, oh, and by the way, this is the segment for the new blah, blah, blah show. I'm like, are you kidding me? And I started having flashbacks to the Balloon Man and the various other ploys that we've seen, you know, the Ship Girl and all the other reality TV shows, and I was like, oh my goodness, I can't believe this. And then I got more information. I'm like, oh my goodness, this is really real life. And then it reminded me that, you know what, we're in the week before Labor Day, and there must not be other cases going on.
Well, you know, when you hear this story, and of course it's the big story is because it's at the Discovery Channel building in Washington, but here you've got obviously a nutcase who's got issues with the channel. He's been protesting them for some time. Al Gore's Inconvenient Truth gets brought up and a whole bunch of nonsense. But the question I want to ask you is a mental health, the court system, and are these people just not getting the treatment that they need? Because he's been through the system before, and here he's out wandering the streets again. Are we protected from these sorts of people or not?
No, I mean, clearly, I don't think that we are. I mean, hello?
I'm here. I'm here, Robin. Hello. I love it. That's like five shows in a row now, and we've been able to do this. Cell phones and Robin Sachs. Anyway, we're going to take a break, and I'll come back here in a minute with Robin Sachs. And good thing you're not watching me. Well, actually, some of you are watching me on television because the show is taped and then aired later on Channel 7 up here. You would see how red my face is, and it's not because I'm embarrassed. Actually, it is. I'm going to take a break. This is the Dana Pretzer Show. We'll be right back.
The Dana Pretzer Show on Scared Monkeys Radio will be right back.
Okay, we're back, and truly, on the road with Robin Sachs, I love it. You know, the person that invented the cell phones needs to be, now, never mind. Let's get back to...
You know what, actually, we should be thanking that person and giving that person, like, a...
I tell you, it's... What? It's unbelievable. Listen, let's get back to the Discovery Channel. Now, this guy isn't just someone who's mad at them doing, what do they have on... I don't even watch the Discovery Channel. What kind of shows are on there?
You know... You just would have to put me on the spot, Dana Pretzer. Actually, the Discovery Channel is almost the new crime network, to be honest with you. I was actually speaking with the producer just this evening here in sunny Southern California, L.A., at 75 degrees at 6 o'clock at night, overlooking the mountains, I just might add. But seriously, Discovery Channel, what it does is it does a lot of the cases that the true crime sleuthers are interested in. It's the cases that are the unsolved cases, the cases of conspiracy, the cases of injustice, those kinds of cases the Discovery Network has taken an interest in. So in some ways, while, you know, it may not seem like the more well-known NBC, ABC, CBS, it's actually a network that has taken an interest and has a place in crime solving, which I think is something to be, you know, proud of.
Well, we all love that. Robin Sachs is here. And we were talking about the mental health aspect of this. I'm just reading a note that I received. Discovery Channel also runs TLC and Animal Planet, and some of their shows are Cash Cab, which I think I've interviewed Robin from, Man Versus Wild, I'm not sure what that is, American Chopper, I've seen that, and, of course, the ever-lovable Kate Plus 8. Let's get back to...
some of your favorite.
Oh, man, I don't know about that. But anyway, let's get back to the mental health aspect in the courts. Here, this guy, this Looney Tune that is no longer with us because the SWAT team went in and took care of him, today had three hostages, some explosives. It's actually still, they're still looking at this. And just before your cell phone died or we got cut off, we were talking about how the courts protect us. And is there enough being done through the mental health system, because this guy had been through the system before?
I mean, I can answer that question in a hot minute, and I think that you and I both know. I mean, clearly, when you have children dying and people being placed with the wrong people, how can you even say that that system is working?
Right.
So clearly, no, in a nutshell, it's not working. But is it as screwed up as we think it is? That's really where the analysis comes from.
Now, what about the fact that this guy is obsessed with a cable channel? And he was talking about too many multi-birth shows, children being parasites. He has this manifesto, and, of course, the cable news shows are all over this and reading it to the people. But what about that? You know, I was looking at the ratings tonight, and you get shows, some of the shows, like O'Reilly, for example, he's pulling in more than 4 million viewers a night. You're bound to get some nuts out there that are watching.
I think that would be my key question, is how many people are really watching the stuff, and what is it that he was actually targeting? I mean, what was the statement, and did he accomplish what he was intended to accomplish? And none of what he did addresses the issue, which, you know, but yet he was able to accomplish getting the amount of media and I've looked at him that he was hoping to get.
Yep, absolutely. See, that's why you're as sharp as you are. He wanted attention.
I love you, Dana.
He wanted the attention, and by God, he got it.
And he got it. I mean, but to me, that's not about the story. To me, that is the last week of August, and it's the week before Labor Day, and really, there's nothing going on in this world that warrants attention than this guy at the Discovery Network holding people hostage. I think it's a ridiculous case and a ridiculous story, and I would love to know how many other businesses are held hostage and how many other disgruntled employees they are. Just don't think that that's really the crime of interest, other than the fact that there's nothing else to compare it to, and nothing else going on right now.
Yeah, but we do have earth-shattering news. Paris Hilton has been arrested for allegedly carrying cocaine in her purse. Of course, she's saying that it's someone else's purse. And when the officer showed her what it was, she thought it was gum. And, of course, we can all go back to that famous case with Lindsay Lohan, where she thought she was wearing someone else's pants. And if you can't get any more high-profile case and more public interest than that, I don't know what we can, Robin Sachs.
Can I tell you, the thing that's most unbelievable to me is how many people are sympathetic to Lindsay Lohan.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm talking about very smart, educated people here, whom I've just had the opportunity to speak with this evening, of people who are smart people in media who actually feel like Lindsay Lohan was the subject of some sort of police brutality, DA misconduct, judicial disregard, everything that you could possibly name under the sun. And to me, this is just cut and dry as it comes. Like, she got a gift. The girl needs help. And yet, even in her newest Lindsay Lohan, his Esquire, Vanity Fair article, she still doesn't take responsibility for the current actions, which is telling.
Well, it's interesting to see these cases, and we're making fun of them a bit because, Paris Hilton all of a sudden says it's someone else's purse. And as long as you've been in the business and as long as I've been in the business, we hear excuses like that all the time. I don't know where that came from. I don't know where it is. You can show somebody on a videotape, a surveillance tape of them stealing something, and they'll still deny it. You know, it is human nature to protect yourself and never try to incriminate yourself. And a good lawyer tells you not to ever admit to anything. But do juries really buy this stuff, Robin? Will Paris Hilton eventually, this will probably be dealt away, I'm sure. But if it went to a jury, will a jury believe And what high-profile lawyer will go in and defend her that she was carrying someone else's purse?
I mean, the whole notion, to be honest with you, the best thing from... I mean, there's two issues here. And this is something that you and I talk about on a day-in, day-out basis here, which is there is a criminal law aspect and there's a publicity aspect. And yeah. The fact of the matter is that she is dead to the right from a criminal point of view. I mean, I don't know how she gets out. The VA has the burden of proof, and I'll give them that. They do have the burden of proof. But there's no other person in the car. It's the two of them in the car. Her purse, her wallet, her keys, her phone, her everything that's found in the purse. How is she? It's not the VA that needs to argue it's hers. She's going to need to argue that it's not hers. So she is now effectively taking the burden of proof away from the prosecutor and made it that where she needs to show her own defense here. And the best thing that she possibly could do is, instead of trying to defend herself and say that this didn't happen in that way, is to take the publicity angle and let that factor in and say, you know what, I screwed up, I made a mistake.
Yep.
Yes, I'm not a drug addict, but I've done these drugs and I've partied and blah, 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 whatever she's going to say. I think that would be much more transparent, much more real, and thereby be much more sympathetic to everybody involved.
I agree. Robin Sachs is here. You can check out her webpage by going to www.robinsachs.com. There you'll find all the books she's written and learn all about Robin and what she's been up to lately. You know, you're right. This news cycle is very slow right now. We still have some high-profile cases like Kyron Horman and others that have slowed down. We're seeing little bits and pieces of them. We're seeing some other tragedies where young women are being killed. And there was a case of a doctor crawling down someone's chimney and being found. Just strange, weird, wacky sort of things like that. U.S., the NBC News analysts now at this time of year when there's this slow cycle going on, how do you keep yourself busy?
No, and it's funny because even as you think that there's no news, you find out that Howard K. Stern is in trial, Mel Gilkins being investigated, there's elections to come, so there's always something. It's nothing, you know, every day of the week, 100 times out of the year, you can find something. And what people don't realize is what the news business is about making something out of nothing. And that's what they do, and that's what happens day in and day out. It's like, let's find a way to take a 30-minute Mel Gibson tape and stretch it over a course of 4 days, and stretch it up to four days of seven-minute segments. Now, all of a sudden, the 30-minute tape is now, stretched over a period of time. You can make news last if you want to.
You know, Robin Sachs is here, and she's doing a great job of making something out of nothing. I love that. I love that. And now we're seeing, some of the celebrity websites like TMZ and Radar Online are the two big ones. Now we're seeing John Goslin apparently trying to extort money from his wife, saying that he will run to Child Protection Services unless she gives him some cash. And these websites are just exploding. The people are listening. They're watching. The hits on them are in the millions. But really, why does anyone care about dopey John Goslin?
I'm hoping you're going to answer that question for me, Dana Proctor, because honestly, the fact of the matter is that I found myself this last week at an Emmy party,
uh-huh.
which, by the way, I loathe the idea of doing anything celebrity. You know, people think that I'm here in LA and I like that stuff, and I'm chasing around Levi Johnson to get a picture with him, and I'm like, why am I chasing this person around? The same thing with John Goslin and everyone else. Why is it? If these people are celebrities just because they're celebrities, they're nobodies, they're losers, but yet we care. Is that really what a pathetic state our country is coming to, that we care about people who are unimportant?
Well, yeah, and then maybe we'll see Levi and Robin on Dancing with the Stars someday soon. Robin Sachs.
Don't ever say that again.
Robin Sachs is here for another. I won't. Robin Sachs is here for another 5 minutes, and you, your friend Diane Diamond is coming on after you. And,
oh, I can't wait.
And we're going to talk about her new book.
Diane Diamond, tell her I say hello.
I will, and and we're going to talk about her new book. But the first question I'm going to ask her, and I'm going to ask you now, the same question is with stories like the Discovery Channel story today. And something will happen tomorrow, no doubt. how do you draw the line as to what you're going to report on and what you're not going to report on? Again, I don't believe this would have got so much coverage today if it hadn't had anything to do with the Discovery Channel.
You know what? The thing is, what you have to look at, really when it comes to the end of the day, or at least from my point of view, if you look at what part of a story has human interest, which part is going to matter to people at the end of the day, where can we just, you know, narrow it down to where the people who are involved are going to actually care and be affected by what happened. And once you answer that question, then you're able to determine how important the story is.
And exactly, but the networks, you know, I think my commentary tomorrow talks about network ratings, and you can get as high as 4 million, like I talked about for O'Reilly, and down to 500,000 for some of the shows, and with the internet and with the cable systems the way they are, with the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of channels, there's so much choice that you have to be able to, like you said, make something out of nothing. And how does Robin Sachs grab that story, and you do a great job at it, but how does she grab that story and try to make something out of nothing so that people are actually interested?
Well, the thing of it, for me, from a personal point of view, it's really easy. I mean, all you have to do is look into something that matters. What is it going to, at the end of the day, that's going to matter to people? What is it going to outrage people? How is it going to affect the average everyday Joe? And thankfully, there are people like you, Dana, who keep me on my toes with the celebrity stuff to make me calm down. But it's really easy. When you feel the outrage, when you feel the PU feeling, you know that that means it's something that needs your attention.
Yeah, exactly, and the people that are there and they're craving that attention. They want to be able to watch that in a story like this. James J. Lee, you know, how many days now, Robin, do you think that we'll be talking about him? Because we're not hearing the whole story. I'm sure there's going to be more. There'll be friends of his and relatives of his that will come forward. People wanting to get their 15 seconds of fame, I guess, to talk about this guy. But again, it was a mentally unstable people. Thank God the hostages are fine. I lose no sleep over the fact that this guy lost his life. I am concerned about the mental health aspect, but now tomorrow when you go to work, you may have to be talking about this guy and talking to some dope that you've never heard of before, but the focus will be on this guy for the next week, and the next story will be whatever.
Well, I think the thing that it comes down to is that everyone can learn something from every case that comes out there. Whether it means, you know what, we need to hear about, think about some of the realities of the economic world. Whether we need to deal with the reality of what's going on with TV, or we need to deal with the reality that crime affects everyone. And even the really high-powered people in entertainment or governments or anything else. And it's a time to open our eyes and realize that this can affect all of us.
Yeah, absolutely. Her name is Robin Sachs. She's an NBC News analyst. She's a former ADA. She's an author. And I encourage you to check out her webpage at www.robinsachs.com to learn more about her. And turn on the TV tomorrow, and you'll find her on one of the news programs, I'm sure, with her excellent analysis. Thanks, Robin.
Thank you.
See you again.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. That's Robin Sachs, and I don't. Every time I have her on, I got phone trouble. But this James J. Lee, like, what a nutcase! That's for sure. And you know, it says part of his manifesto: all programs on Discovery Health TLC must stop encouraging the birth of any more parasitic human infants and the false heroics behind those actions, was one of his lists of demands. Well, take that for what it's worth. I'm Dana Pretzer. This is Scared Monkeys Radio. We'll be back in a moment with someone who's no stranger to entertainment reporting. She has a new book, Cirque du Salahi. Remember the Salahis, those nutcases that took a little tour of the White House that were invitees but not invitees. We're going to talk to Diane Diamond, who's a Entertainment Tonight correspondent and a longtime television host, in a minute or two. We'll be right back here on Scared Monkeys Radio. Okay, we're back. You'll know my next guest, Diane Diamond, is a longtime television reporter, an author, ET correspondent. She has a new book out that we'll talk about in a few minutes, Cirque du Soleil. Be careful who you trust. The inside story of Michaeli and Tariq Sahali. I'm sure I butchered those names. Hi, Robin. Or Robin. I just had Robin Sachs on, for God's sake. She always gets me so mixed up. Hi, Diane. How are you?
Hey, Dana. How are you?
You know, every time...
Yeah, you did kind of butcher those names, but everybody does. It's a strange set of names. It's Tark, like shark,
yeah,
as he likes to say, and Mikhail.
Yeah, Mikhail. And
yeah.
Turk.
Anyway, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you doing? You know, I want to start, before we get into the book, I want to get your thoughts on this Discovery Channel hostage-taking. You've been in the business a long time. Did you ever think, did you see a story? We see, barricaded people taking hostages, sad stories, but did you ever think you'd see a story where you get a nutcase like this? Part of his manifesto talks about all programs on Discovery Health TLC must stop encouraging the births of any more parasitic human infants and the false heroics behind those actions. The list of demands read, and God, it went on and on and on, and what a sad story. He's gone. The hostages are safe. That's good. But I want to get Diane Diamond's thoughts on this story.
Yeah, you know, Dana, it's odd because when I heard this today, I had just been in that building not long ago pitching some people at Discovery for a television idea. And so the minute I heard about it, I called, I tried to call, and then I quickly hung up because I thought, oh my gosh, a ringing telephone, if there's a nutcase around mm-hmm. with a gun, he might be drawn to that. So I got on the email, and I emailed my couple of friends there, and one of them immediately wrote me back, we're okay, we got out, we were inside for about an hour, we had an evacuation plan, and this is a big, tall, 11 or 12-story building. So somehow they had thought ahead and had an evacuation plan, and most of the people were out of there. Of course, they got all the children out of the child care center, which was great. But, you know, you read about this man, like what you just said, he was obviously disturbed. Apparently he had come into some money, and whenever he could, he would stand out in front of Discovery and throw dollar bills,
yeah,
$5 bills, $10 bills, even $100 bills up into the air,
yeah,
to get people to gather to demonstrate with him. Well, they didn't want to demonstrate. They just wanted the money. But I think he was a sick human being. It's really kind of a sad story.
And I guess my question to you is, the story itself is interesting, but let's look at the mental health aspect. This guy has been through the system, been arrested, been taken for mental health treatment. Is the system failing us? Because how many of these James J. Lees do we have running around that are obsessed with cable news networks or whatever that go and have a potential disaster? I think 1,900 people in that building, it could have been a real disaster.
Oh, it could have. And, you know, I'll tell you, Dana, because I had just been in that building, most of the offices are on a long hallway sort of a setup, and they're all glass. There's no place to hide, is my point. And if there was a mad gunman going around, he could have just gone from floor to floor to floor if he had enough ammunition and just had a massive amount of murderous rage unleashed. But I think, look, how many hundreds of millions of people are there in America? How many are sick? Yeah. How many are mentally sick? How many are armed? Now, every time you talk about that, it goes down and down and down. There are hundreds of millions of people. There are maybe millions of people who are mentally ill. There are only a few hundred thousand that are actually armed. There are only tens of thousands that would actually kill. And then maybe there are only hundreds that are actually provoked to the point where they would. So, you know, I urge everybody not to get too freaked out about it, but he had been on the radar for a couple of years, and I'm kind of surprised that he was going in and out of homeless shelters without someone keeping an eye on him.
Exactly.
You know, that's kind of distressing.
Exactly. And if you're just tuning in, Diane Diamond's here. There was video on TV today. You talked about him throwing the money up in the air and protesting the network and all that sort of stuff. But I think the bottom line is that law enforcement and the security people at that building did a great job. It's etched into your mind seeing them push. How often do you see an evacuation of a building where they're pushing cribs out on the street with the young babies in them?
No.
That was chilling to see that.
It really was. And again, I've been in that building, and when you go in the front, there's one lone person sitting in a big, huge lobby.
Yeah.
An enormous lobby, and there's one person. So getting by that one person is pretty easy. I'll bet you anything, Dana, that security system's going to change.
I bet it
is. In that building. But, you know, how many of us are lucky enough to have an employer that says, you know what, we have daycare in the building?
Yeah.
That's terrific, and you feel so good about that.
Yep.
And today, there were so many parents who tried to get into that daycare center, and they couldn't. They were evacuated out of the building without getting their children, and can you imagine? But everybody got out safe. That's the important thing, I guess.
And thank God for that. And anyway, let's talk about the book. Let's talk about the Salahis, and we've all been fascinated with them, and we watched the stories, and we watched your coverage, and how did you get to write a book about them?
Well, you know, when I first met Mikhail and Tarek Salahi, I thought, oh, these are those gate crashers, the White House gate crashers. Oh, boy, they must be nuts. But as I got to know them, I went and covered them. They were doing a little event, and I covered for Entertainment Tonight. And I got to know them, and I thought, well, these are kind of nice people. Maybe we have misjudged them.
Mm-hmm.
So we exchanged emails, and we started to get to know each other. And as I got further and further just into a personal relationship with them, I realized these people did not. They were not White House gate crashers. I used to cover the White House, Dana,
uh-huh.
And I can tell you, it's pretty darn tough to get into the White House. You don't crash the gate.
Yeah.
So what really happened, and I went back with their cooperation. They let me look at the emails that they had. I know how they got to the point where they thought that they were invited. I know that there is more than just one official guest list. There's something called the OTR, the off-the-record guest list, that when people cancel at the last minute, no host wants a bunch of empty seats. So they call in outsiders, and they were among the outsiders that were called in and allowed in. And you didn't hear this from the media. I get a little upset at my own career choice. Journalists in this country have started to just parrot each other. And White House gatecrashers sounded so great and catchy and wonderful, and everybody just repeated it. The problem was it just wasn't true.
When you look at the story, and you gave me a good lead-in for it, is how it was reported. It became a security issue for the White House. It became a, again, gate crasher was the big catchphrase for it. Either on the right or the left or the political aspect of it or the entertainment aspect of it, without knowing the whole story, and we always say it's good to verify before you report, these people were put up on a stake, and I think they even went to Congress and testified about this because it was, again, the big security issue here. Why did we not hear the real story about what really happened with them until now with your book?
Well, I'll tell you, I think because it's newsrooms across America are being budget-cutted to death. Is that the right way to say it? Budget-cutted to death?
Okay.
And there are not enough reporters
to
follow up on every aspect of every story. The bottom line is these people really thought that they were invited to the White House. They went to the White House. They woke up the next day to realize they were being called gate crashers. They made a series of phone calls, including to the Secret Service. The Secret Service interviewed them immediately. They knew what the story was. And somehow, I have discovered through my investigation, they never communicated with Congress and that Homeland Security Committee. you know, they're tasked with keeping the country safe here after 9/11.
Right.
And, oh, even the name Salahi, oh my gosh, it sounds like a Middle Eastern name, and it is a Middle East, it's a Palestinian name. So everybody freaked out, and they had this kangaroo court sort of hearing on Capitol Hill with these people, where under advice of their lawyer, they didn't say a word.
Mm-hmm.
Well, do you blame them?
No.
Before they ever went to that committee, Dana, there were two or three members of the committee who were publicly quoted as saying they were intruders, they were perpetrators, they were crooks before they ever crashed the White House. That's a quote.
Mm-hmm.
So now you go to Congress and you're going to testify in front of these people. Your lawyer is telling you, you know what, take the Fifth. Do not incriminate yourself, take the Fifth. And so that's what they did, and they were vilified for that, too.
Diane Diamond's here.
They couldn't win. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Diane Diamond's here. We're talking about her new book. There's a link in the show notes for you to click on and go and find out more about it. Let's talk about the View and Whoopi Goldberg and the big problem there. I'm not sure what you can say or can't say about that, but it seems like, again, these people, rightfully or wrongfully, even on the View, become attacked because of this whole gate crashing thing, and it almost becomes a bit of a mockery of itself, Diane. And I say that with respect to you, because how often do people get sick of seeing someone on TV over and over and over again?
Absolutely.
And
they became a joke.
Yep.
Here in that, up and down the East Coast anyway, people would say, if someone came to a party uninvited, they say, oh, they pulled a Salahi.
Jeez.
You know, they became a verb or something.
Yeah.
You know, it was so sad. And so by the time they got to the View, they did not appear by themselves. The entire cast of this Bravo reality TV show appeared with them. And can you imagine if you're the other four or five other cast members with Mikhail Salahi? Everybody's talking about her, and nobody's talking about you, and you're mad about it. So they began to attack her on the show, and who hasn't heard enough about the Salahis? You think, oh, I've heard everything I can possibly know about them. Except I've found out you haven't. There are deep, dark secrets in this story that you can't even imagine, and I can't even tell you right now. But they get on The View, and they start to attack her, and one of the hosts of the show, Sherry Shepherd, all of a sudden blurts out, I think you should all be in jail.
Yeah.
You and your husband should be in jail. And according to the Salahi's attorney, the applause light goes on,
Yeah. And
everybody starts to clap, and Mikhail just wants to cry. Whoopi Goldberg comes out from the side of the stage and taps her on the arm and says, hey, get back to the White House, would ya?
Yeah.
And then she walks away, and somehow it becomes interpreted that Whoopi has hit her.
Mm-hmm.
Mikhail never said, she hit me, but somehow Whoopi thinks that she's going to claim that she's been hit. And there ensues a terrible F-bomb tirade, and it gets tape recorded and put online. And, you know, you're right. Wherever they go, controversy ensues. Now, they've been on this earth for 40, 45 years, and they've never had this kind of controversy ensue before.
Mm-hmm.
You go to the White House, and all of a sudden it does. So there's a lot of things at play here. I think there's some class envy. I think she's a beautiful blonde platinum girl, platinum blonde woman, who is naturally the target of some jealousy.
Yep.
I think maybe there's even a race issue here. The people who seem to be maddest at the Salahis oftentimes are African American, who think that they're out to embarrass President Obama, which ironically is the furthest thing from their mind. They have supported President Obama since 2005, ironically. And so I just think it is all born of some very bad reporting that came around Thanksgiving time, when there were not editors and other people around to quell the bad reporting, and it just metastasized.
Diane Diamond's here talking about her new book. And again, you led me right into my next question, the Obama connection and Hollywood and how they love to protect him. And no matter if you're the Salahis or whoever, if you do anything that may look negative towards Obama, you're going to be ostracized for it in the media, in the cable media, and by some of these Hollywood nitwits that are out there. And is this a big part of this whole story?
Well, it is. And furthermore, not only are you ostracized, Dana, but you are branded as a bigot.
Right.
And a racist. And it really hurts the Salahis. I went down to Virginia, to their Virginia home, and I lived with them for a while, so I could really get the flavor of their lifestyle. They have many, many, many African-American friends. They have many gay friends. They have many white friends. They have many friends, and they have been in the social sphere for 10 or 12 years. And so this whole idea that they are these newcomer social wannabes, climbers, is ridiculous. They are neither racist nor climbers nor anything. Now, having said that, I'll tell you, in the book I do describe them as the modern day Mr. and Mrs. Thurston Howell III out of Gilligan's Island. They really, they're kind of different than you and me. They live in a different realm. And where you and I would go to work every day and come home and have a cocktail and eat with our family and go to bed, they go to fancy parties.
Yep.
Because they have no children and this is their life, you know. They call each other lovey. And so they do have a different existence than us. They're odd people. But it's not against the law to be odd.
That's for sure. There's a link in the show notes to find out more about the book. It's called Cirque du Salahi. Be careful who you trust. You got to help me with this, Diane. The inside story of, and I'll throw it to you,
Mikkel and Tark Salahi. And you can pre-order it on Amazon.com if you're so inclined.
Absolutely. Now, I've got about 2 minutes left. What's next? What's next with you? What are you busy doing?
You know what? I'm really interested now in the whole idea of reality television.
Mm-hmm.
Who the heck wants to be on it? I mean, would you want a camera following you around all the time?
Mm-hmm.
And who watches it? This is I did a lot of interviews for this last book with psychologists and psychiatrists, and there was one who really gave me a cautionary note. He said, you know, we have become this new reality TV. We have become the obnoxious neighbor next door who feels, unrightfully so, that they should be on television simply because they're a character. And they act more of a character so that they can get on television. And this is the new mindset of the younger generation that watches these TV shows. And he was really pretty dire in his prediction about it. So I think I'm going to look into other people who've been on other reality TV shows. If anybody is out there listening who's done this or lived through it, give me a call. Contact me through my website. I think there are a lot of damaged people who thought that they could be big television stars. They could be the Snookies. They could be the Survivors, the Bachelors, the Bachelorettes. And it didn't really turn out like that, and their lives have never been the same.
Absolutely. And look at the Goslins. There's news out today that on one of the websites that John was trying to extort Kate for money, and it goes on and on. And you know what, Diane? That is a fascinating subject, and I hope you come back on the show and we can talk about that more.
You know, I'll always come back on your show.
I thank you for that.
Thanks, Dana.
Her webpage is DianeDiamond.net. You can learn more about her new book there, and you'll see her on Entertainment Tonight and other programs. Thank you, ma'am.
You betcha. Anytime.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye. And we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back with syndicated radio host and crime reporter for the Winnipeg Free Press, Mike McIntyre, to get his take on some of these high-profile cases in the news. This is Scared Monkeys Radio. I'm Dana Pretzer. We'll be right back. You all know my next guest, Mike McIntyre, as a syndicated radio host of the Crime and Punishment radio show on Sunday nights on the Ralco and Chorus radio networks. He's a crime reporter for the Winnipeg Free Press and author of true crime novels. And you can check out his webpage by clicking on the link on the show notes. Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm good.
Now, let's start with this whole Discovery Channel thing. I know some of your favorite shows are on the Discovery Channel, like John and Kate Plus 8 and the Cake Show and all that sort of stuff. But did you ever think that you'd see a story? I'm chuckling a little bit. It's not funny. Thank God the hostages got out, that we'd see a story where someone is a nutcase is out there and he's going after a cable news channel.
You know, I'm never surprised at what some people get upset about. That being said, I don't expect somebody to go to this extent. Sure, writing letters, calling, complaining, posting angry Facebook messages or Twitter messages, maybe. But actually taking hostages and you know, going in armed, that's obviously goes beyond anything that we'd consider normal. That being said, I have heard lots of folks complaining over the last few months about the kind of programming and, you know, what is happening to society. I don't know, though, that, you know, trying to conquer bad programming and perhaps the dumbing down of society by going on a violent rampage is actually the way to accomplish that. If anything, perhaps it's further proof that society is being dumbed down.
You know, we're in a country, a rehabilitative country up here in Canada, where there's more rehabilitation than anything, and all we have to do is think of the Greyhound bus situation here a while ago. And the question I want to ask you is, here's a guy, this Lee, who had gone through mental health assessments before, has been arrested before, obviously has serious issues, and is out walking around. Is the system and are the courts in our country and the country to the south of us doing enough to protect us from these people, or are they just going in, getting put on medication and allowed to go back out in the street?
They are, and in a lot of cases, they're not even really being put on medication. Maybe they're being trusted to go on medication. That's one of the big faults, I think, within certainly Canada's justice system, and yep. I suspect it's very much the same south of the border, is that there really is a lack of recognition, a lack of programming, a lack of resources, a lack of options available when you have people with mental illness. It's sort of the equivalent of when you get a case like this or a person like this, everybody kind of stands around, you know, looking at each other saying, what are we supposed to do? And perhaps sometimes it's the path of least resistance that gets taken. Unfortunately, that often means you've got people going untreated, who fall through the cracks in a big way. And we only hear about them when they completely go off the deep end, yeah. like what happened today.
Yeah, exactly. And that term, not criminally responsible, is something that I want to talk to you for a minute or two about. You know, in this country is just that, and I've dealt with them myself and in my other line of work. And what does that not criminally responsible mean?
Well, it really goes to the intent. There's this old saying in law, they call it the mens rea is yeah. the term they use, and that is really the forming of intent, the ability to appreciate one's actions. And what this is basically saying, when someone's found not criminally responsible, is that their mind was so messed up, that they were in such a place in their life and in their mental state, that at that point you could not reason with that person, and they could not appreciate right from wrong. They could not appreciate consequences to actions, and therefore they should be deferred out of the criminal justice system. They shouldn't be dealt with like a normal criminal who knows right from wrong, knows what they're doing is criminal, and can appreciate that there will be a price to pay if caught. In a situation like this, they're saying these people do not understand that. They are, you know, in some ways almost childlike, I suppose, much like we don't punish children for acts, not to compare people who are mentally ill with children, but the same mindset of not being able to understand right from wrong, the basics that we're all sort of brought up on. When people are going through these psychotic episodes, they say that they cannot appreciate that, and therefore they shouldn't face criminal sanctions. They should be treated more as patients as yeah. opposed to perpetrators.
Yeah, that part is just totally bizarre. Mike McIntyre is here. Dustin LaFortune, we've talked about that, I think, the last time I had you on the show, and I'll get you to refresh my audience's memory a little bit about it. It's a case localized here to you and to me. There's since been an arrest. Fill us in.
Yeah, some real interesting developments in his case. There was a warrant that was issued for his former roommate slash boss, a man named Dustin Paxton. This is a man that the family has long identified as the culprit, or who they believe was responsible for weeks, if not months, of torture and abuse, and also the person who, interestingly enough, dropped the victim off at hospital in what would seem to be a compassionate gesture. A real contradiction here. In any event, it didn't take police long to find Mr. Paxton. He was captured in Alberta, I think really within days of the warrant being issued and them going public with his name. He's since appeared in court and facing numerous very serious criminal charges. I think despite the fact there's now been an arrest and obviously a legal process that's underway, nobody is any closer whatsoever to figuring out why this happened. That is still mystery number one. Why would somebody do such a horrible thing? How could somebody get away with this for so long? I guess the other good news, apart from an arrest, is that Dustin LaFortune seems to be taking some real strides towards rehabilitation. He's actually left Regina. He's now gone home to British Columbia, where his mother resides. He's going to be undergoing some long-term care and rehabilitation there, but seeing pictures of him now compared to those ghastly images we all saw of him in the hospital, it's like he's a different man. He's put on weight. He looks healthier. Unfortunately, when you hear him speak, you quickly recognize the damage that was done to this man. There is brain damage here. Nobody at this point can really say the extent of it, but it is clear when you hear him talk that this is not a man with all his faculties about him, and it's probably not somebody who's ever going to regain full use of that. He will never be the same, and it is a case which has captivated this country, and I expect will continue to do so as it works its way now through the legal system.
Absolutely. And in fact, Paxton has been charged with a another case as a second victim. A young girl under the age of 18 has come forward. I'm not sure any details on that.
And, and in fact, there is still an ongoing investigation of whether or not there are even more victims, other males perhaps. I think this is a kind of case where the police are going to be at it for quite some time, and who knows the extent of it. But as I said, I think the question a lot of folks really want to know is why did this happen? And at this point, we really can't say.
Now let's talk about Paxton a little bit. He appeared via video link, and you know, the judge asked him, does he understand his charges? And then whether it's an act or what, it all of a sudden becomes no. And the system is going to be taxed, I think, by this individual himself.
They will be, except it's interesting you brought up the first point about mental illness, because I've heard it suggested from some people who know Paxton that it's possible this man has some mental issues. And I guess, Dana, you could say anybody capable of such horror on a fellow human being has got to have something wrong with them upstairs, you know, can't be wired properly. You could probably say that about any serious criminal, that at least they're temporarily insane. But it will be interesting to see as Paxton works his way through the courts if a not criminally responsible type of defense does ultimately get put forward. If some lawyer comes along and says there's something not right upstairs and he didn't know what he was doing, we could be in for a case of deja vu in that sense.
Here we go again, for sure. Mike McIntyre is here. He's a crime reporter, author, and a semi-regular guest on the program. Let's talk about Paris and someone else's purse and Lindsay Lohan wearing someone else's pants. And I think if Winnipeg PD pull you over, Mike, you tell them that you're wearing Charles Adler's pants, and I think you'll be able to get away with anything.
Paris Hilton, what a shock, back in the news. She's sort of among that crew that can't seem to duck the limelight for too long. What is she famous for again? We always talk about her. I mean, she's famous for what?
Yeah.
She made a bad porn video, amateur porn video, and her parents have some money. I've never quite understood what it is with this woman that people are fascinated by. I suppose it's that train wreck mentality, and she is a bit of a walking, or in this case, driving train wreck. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see if her high-priced lawyers can get her out of this this jam she's in. I see she's already claiming that she had borrowed this purse that had this cocaine in it. Other stuff in the purse was hers, and
of course,
I don't know about you, Dana. I guess we don't borrow purses, but let's just say a wallet. If I borrow a wallet or a bag from a friend that I actually put stuff in, I don't know how legitimate it would be to claim that somehow some cocaine got in there. I guess she runs with different friends than I do. It just seems like she's got her excuse already, you know, to go, and she's going to try and wiggle off the hook, and she obviously will have probably the best lawyers imaginable that will try and do that for her. We'll see how far it goes.
Well, exactly, and we all remember Lindsay Lohan saying she was wearing someone else's pants, and these...
Yes, apparently in Hollywood, you don't wear your own clothes, you don't carry your own purse, you don't carry your own cocaine.
I guess not. What's coming up on the show this week, my friend?
Well, there's a big scandal brewing in my neck of the woods the last 24 hours that we will be all over. It has to do with a judge. This is the kind of case, Dana, that they'll make a TV movie of the week out of. A judge in Manitoba who, as of today, actually has stepped down from the bench while there's a judicial complaint against her being investigated. It has emerged, believe it or not, that this judge 7 years ago posed for all kinds of graphic, pornographic images, bondage, S&M, you name it, that were posted all over the internet and are still out there in cyberspace. These images were actually spread on the internet by her husband, who's also a lawyer in Winnipeg, and who's also the subject of an ongoing investigation, because he was trying to solicit one of his clients, a black man, to have sex with his wife. Apparently they were into this kind of thing. It is as sordid and scandalous as perhaps it gets in Canada, and lots of twists and turns in the story. We've been covering it on my website, Mike on Crime, and on the Winnipeg Free Press website. Folks who want to read all about this scandal can check that out, and we'll have more on the radio this Sunday.
Sounds fascinating. And again, our judicial system is, it's a story every week, is it not?
Yeah, expect the unexpected, I suppose.
For sure. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you. Take care.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's Mike McIntyre, crime reporter and author of 4 true crime books. Check out his webpage at mikeoncrime.com. And certainly check out his radio show on Sunday nights. If you aren't in Canada to listen on Ralco or Chorus radio channels, listen to it online. It's a great show. I always like having Mike on. That's it. That's tonight's show. I hope you enjoyed it. Our webpage is www.scaredmonkeysradio.com. And I hope you can tune in again sometime soon. I'm Dana Pretzer. Good night, everyone.
Listening to the Dana Pretzer Show on Scared Monkeys Radio. We invite you to discuss tonight's program with other listeners by joining us at scaredmonkeysradio.com, where you'll find program archives, links to tonight's guest websites, and further information regarding tonight's topics. Scared Monkeys Radio is a production of scaredmonkeys.com. Thanks for listening.